Morning. Welcome. Heartland Bible live stream. It's only a week since we were together together electronically for Easter Sunday. A lot has happened since that Easter Sunday time when we were together. It's been wonderful to hear back from you concerning what's going on here. I want to mention some of the things that have happened. For example, this week, the anticipated surge that we were looking to concerning the COVID-19 virus and the influx of patients has not come at the rate of increase that was expected. There still is an increase, but it has leveled off, and there's been no sharp spike in that. That has been an encouraging note. Another encouraging thing, a prayer rally at Blackford Community Hospital or Blackford County Hospital. Wow, well attended, good participation, excellent time to just rally seeking God's face and to have community there. It was a very good thing. Our folks participated. Matter of fact, it was the work of a deacon that kind of got me more involved, and that was great. Also, some of the local factories have made some adjustments so that they were able to better serve the needs. A company here in town, shifting 65% of its production to these foam items that went into face shields for healthcare. There has definitely been some good things. And with all of this, the leveling off, though there are an increasing number of patients, but the leveling off of the increase in Indiana and in other places, there has been talk of beginning to relax some of the restrictions and move forward concerning life here in the United States under the COVID pandemic. Well, there's also been some disquieting, distressing kind of signs that have gone on this week. For example, the unrest rallies in some neighboring states, and this being an expression, well, we have a right to file our opinions and protest. But this is an expression of some anger concerning the extent of the restrictions. Disquieting. Also, during this time of home staying requirements, many places across the country, a sharp increase in domestic violence. The unrest of being at home. I recall how it was well illustrated by one song that was shown, some young female artist attempting to compose a song about being at home, treating children at home, the restrictions here. She got out her ukulele and started to sing, and it just became a scream. That was the nature of the song. Yes, some disquieting things. You know, the promise of God that we take up this morning, recorded for us in James chapter 4, which I'd like you to turn there, this promise of God is like well suited, speaks volumes to the time that we're in. As a matter of fact, the orchestrating of this is beyond us. And as we look at it, we're anticipating some supernatural help because we will definitely need that. So turn with me, if you would, to James chapter 4. As we look in on God working all things after the counsel of his will, God working everything together for good. I got a question as you're turning. The question has to do with your time right now. Have you found yourself at times during this period of being closed in, being quarantined? Have you found yourself at times wanting some things that are not good for you, that you know aren't good for you. I know I have, and I have on more occasions that I really care to admit to myself, let alone admit to you. There are some things that I've discovered with the counsel of God when I've been thinking it over, looking at this. There are some things that I have discovered concerning these wants. I've found that they have to do with what I want to do. I want to participate in. I want to experience this. Here, I've got a couple of slides that I want you to see. Here's one of binging. I don't know how well that appears to you. A little foggy here, but I don't know how well it appears to you. This binging in watching shows way into the night, definitely not good for it. I notice that this is not really a solo experience for me. I have a note of this concerning Netflix. Do you remember your first binge? That's the note that's up there in the corner. Over 80% of the members have had a first binge. These are Netflix members. 3 days is how long a first binge usually lasts. 35% of the people have rewatched their first binge. 12 days is how long it takes most people to start their first binge after watching Netflix. Looks like I'm not alone in this want, and it goes well into the night. As a matter of fact, in a recent report, I noticed the vast majority of Americans stay up, depriving themselves of sleep to watch binging Netflix series. Interesting. Has to do with what I want to do, what I want to participate. That's one thing I've noticed. Notice I'm not alone, too. Here's another. Things that I want to have, not just the pleasures of what I want to experience, but some treasures of things I want to have. Here's one. Decadent chocolate cake. You know, when I could walk readily through Walmart, I have seen that advertised. This is decadent chocolate cake. Sounds like some things that aren't good for you. Sounds like some things I want to have, some treasures here. And I've noticed one bakery who used this as an ad. I don't know if you can make this out. It says, indulge yourself again. And it doesn't have just to do with food, though I thought I'd bring that up during this time of being closed in. Also has to do with things we want, that latest gadget electronically, so I can do my binge watching late into the night. Things, treasures, things that I want to have, so what I get to do. Yeah, I've noticed that. There's another also has to do with image, how I want to project my status here. You know, the Bible talks to us when it speaks about these kind of wants that kind of get highlighted during this time of being restricted in getting out, doing things, going places, feeling that freedom. The Bible says this, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, the Apostle John says, don't love the world nor the things of the world. If anyone loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and he begins to list all that is in the world. It's what we get to do, the desires of the flesh, what I get to experience and participate in, the world's pleasures, what I get to have, the world's treasures, those things that give me opportunity and have that new electronic so I can, the world's treasures. And then finally, he says, all the things that are in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. That I get that image, that high status image, so that, wow, woo, look at you, the world's applause. All of that is what's in the world. And when there is a fondness for that, the love of the Father is not in you. John goes on to say, these things pass away, but the one who does the will of God, that remains forever. This morning, we're going to look at what Pastor James has to tell us in James chapter 4 about this thing of being caught up in the world. As a matter of fact, James is pretty straightforward. James doesn't pull any punches. He's very practical in what he has to say to us. As a matter of fact, that's what James is known for, being brief, to the point, extremely practical, and he takes us to a promise of God which is over the top. It is absolutely over the top as we get with God on this. If you got your Bible open, I'd like you to turn with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, beginning at verse 4, where James speaks frankly about this wanting, what we know isn't good for us, the world's pleasures, treasures, applause, what I get to do, what I get to have, what I get to be. Listen what he says. You adulterous people, James 4:4, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says, he, referring to God, yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable, wretched, and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself, or yourselves, speaking to all of us, before the Lord, and he will exalt you. That's the promise that I wanted to draw your attention to. Humble yourself before God, and he will exalt you. Hey, I'm trying to develop this as we're going along here. Hopefully, I'm not getting my words in edgewise this morning. Made some adjustments. I want to also have this brought into the scene. We're going to kind of take a look at this as well. See how this goes. We're looking at James 4, and this morning we're going to be talking about choose to lower and get the highest. Matter of fact, that's the promise that God tells to us. Choose to lower, humble yourself before God, and He will exalt you. Get the highest. There's three things that we're going to look at this morning. God's modus operandi, God's mode of operating. You know, sometime I think that a book definitely needs to be written on this topic, because the Bible is just chock full of God's modes of operating, His modus operandi, if you would. And this morning, James points these out. Matter of fact, not one, but three of the angles that we see God's mode of operating. Then we're going to talk about how to work with God in this, in His modus operandi, His MO, as it's popularly called. And finally, here's the promise of God on this. When we do operate with Him on His modus operandi, here's what takes place. So that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. First off, God's modus operandi, God's MO. And there are, as I mentioned, three expressions here given of how God operates. The first one is in verse 5, then the next in verse 6, and the third is in verse 8. We're going to take a look at these. So I'm going to set this down for a moment, and we're going to take a look at what the Bible tells us is God's mode of operating. Take a look at your Bible with me at verse number 5. Last sentence there. It says this: He yearns jealously over the spirit that He has made to dwell in us. First snapshot given by James, Pastor James, in a brief, to the point manner that's extremely practical. Here's the image. God jealously yearns. God earnestly crave. He longingly desires to have your spirit with Him, the spirit that He made to dwell in us. You know, Jesus spoke similarly in John chapter 4 when He was speaking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. As she was talking, she was perceiving that she was hearing a message from God, a prophet of God. She asked a question, and Jesus gave her a reply along these lines. God seeks folks to get with Him, to put Him in His rightful place, His place of worth and honor. He seeks them to do this in spirit and in truth, in spirit, in their spirit. This spirit that He made to dwell in us, He longingly craves to get with Him, to take some time with Him. You know, this is really an amazing thing. Jesus said it when He was here, John chapter 4, verse 23. James, kind of bringing a composite of Scripture's comments together, says, do you think the Scripture says to no purpose that He earnestly craves, earnestly desires the Spirit He made to dwell in us to get with Him? Oh, God is zeroed in on this, and there is a longing. Such an amazing thing that God does that. It's absolutely astounding. Him being who he is in his majesty and doing this. Psalm 8, as a matter of fact, I recommend that you look over Psalm 8 in this regard, where it says, the majestic of the Lord, the majesty of him, asks this question. John chapter 8. What is man? Verse 5. That you are mindful of him. What is the Son of Man? The youth of people, that you have such a care for him. You made him, Lord, a little lower than God. We have a God image in us. We are scaled down versions of who God is. You've made him that way, and you've crowned him with glory and honor and put him over the work of your hands. God longingly desires it. It's his mode of operation. This is how he operates. This is where he is at and what he does. This is God according to the scriptures, according to Jesus. God seeks such people to give him his rightful place of worth. People to do it in spirit and in truth. Second scene that he presents here, verse 6, he says this. Second scene. But God gives more grace. Therefore, it says, and he quotes the scriptures again. This is actually a quote from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 34. It says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God's modus operandi, his M.O., is that he is anti. He arranges the thing in this world that he controls, and he arranges it anti against the proud. You know, sometimes I play checkers. Have played chess, but I'm not too good at remembering in the heat of the game how this piece moves. Haven't done it enough, I guess. Nevertheless, when I do play, I attempt to arrange and move pieces on the board so that my opponent is kind of overcome, if you would. This statement by God is that he arranges, he opposingly arranges things against the proud. Now, you know who the proud is, who the proud are. The proud are those who ideas are so all-fired, good, right, and important that these are what we need to go along with. Matter of fact, how can you see this? It just doesn't make... No, it's got to be proud. Proud. As a matter of fact, the term means to shine over someone else, because your ideas, your way of thinking, your manner is so all fired, good, right, and important, it fits. Yours is out the window. And some folks don't even do that with other people. They do it with God. Job did it with God. Of course, Job was in dire circumstances, but in the midst of doing this, he accused God of doing wrong. Finally, at the end of that book of Job, you remember Job puts his hand to his mouth. He spoke foolishly. I repent, because God showed him that God is operating here on a different plane, Job. And for us to have ideas that says, God, how can you do this? How, this is so far off, this, what you're working after the counsel of your own will, working it together. How could you? That is wanting to overshadow, overshine God. I mean, it's hard. It's hard in life when we live that way with other people, but with God, yeah, we need to put our hand to our mouth, is indeed the case. God's modus operandi is he is opposed. He's arranging things against, anti, the one who thinks his idea is so good, right, and important. By the way, maybe her too, is so good, right, important that it overshadows. Third modus operandi is recorded for us here in this book, and it is in James chapter 8, where this statement is stated. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Quite an amazing statement, that is. When somebody comes to God, Jesus told us how, John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. When we come to God, when we take that time to get with him, to hear from him, to think about his works and his ways and his provisions, and we get with him, this spirit that he made to dwell in us, yearnestly desiring, not overshadowing God, but listening to how he wants this and how it's good for us. When we do that, drawing near to God, he draws near to you. It's reciprocal. It's his modus operandi. This is the way that God operates. Well, that's the statement of God's modus operandi. Now I want to move on, because I want to talk about this, how to work with God in his modus operandi. And this is given to us for each one of these modus operandis. Now, we're going to kind of move through these quickly. We could spend a lot of time on this, and you know that would be very profitable. Instead of engaging in those things that I want to do that are not good for me, that's, well, what we have in facing the world. These things that are good for me, how to get with God in what he's up to. Modus operandi, first one that he states here, where God has said to us that he yearns jealously, he earnestly desires. Notice with me, this is where the issue of worldliness comes in. Verse 4, do you not know, adulterous people? As a matter of fact, it's cheating on God to do this, to be in friendship with the world. Now, this friendship means there is a disposition of fondness, a nearness, a dearness in us to participate in what I get to have, these treasures, these pleasures that are not good for us. This friendship with the world is hostility towards God. God is the giver of all these things. Indeed, he has made these things to be enjoyed, but they get out of place. John Calvin has said that we're born wanters. Our hearts are a factory, producing things that we want above the giver, that we're willing to disregard, ignore him, play him down. That's friendship with the world. There's a fondness for what I get to do, have, and be. And boy, does it come out when some of these are restricted on us and it gets to be aggravating to the point to, well, you know, sharp increase, these angry riots concerning the restrictions. Okay. Friendship with the world is hostility with God. Verse 4. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Getting so tied up in these things and not being able to participate in them, we get hostile towards God, lining up in opposition to him and what he is doing. Yes, God is in charge of this. He works all things after the counsel of his will. And his promise is everything together for good here. God's modus operandi, how to work with him, how to work with him. It's this thing of taking time to draw near, to replace the gifts that the giver gives with the giver, rather than replacing the giver of the gifts with the gifts he gives. Drawing near. There is a second modus operandi that we've seen. God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. If my idea has to remain so all-fired important that it overshadows God in this worldliness, this orientation to have and to do and to be, God opposes the proud, gives grace to them. How to work with him on this? Verse 7. Submit yourself, therefore, for that reason, voluntarily move where your disposition and your heart is and where your actions are. Voluntarily move to line up with God on this. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Realize this, that there is a supernatural dimension to this that's beyond us to orchestrate. There's also the adversary, the one who is opposed to God, and he wants to move you in that direction. He wants to. A statement is, verse 7, resist the devil, the opposer, the opposer, the devil, diablos, resist him. Take your stand against him by lining up with God, and the promise is that he will flee you. Third modus operandi. All of these fit together, moving away from these, I want to have, I want to do, I want to be, and I'm so uptight about this because I don't get to. You know, you've got to overshadow your opinion with God's opinion because yours isn't so all-fired, good, right, and important. Don't overshadow God in your pride. Submit, line up with him. Resist Diablos, who's opposed to him, to God, and draw near to God, his modus operandi. God will draw near to you. You know, this statement of draw near means to enter into the place of God's presence. His gaze is literally going into his gaze, drawing near to God, and God will draw near to you. He will enter into your gaze. And that statement is a thing that God commits himself to. It is a sure thing. It's his modus operandi. Drawing near to God, taking time to read through Psalm 8. Spending time looking at Psalm 16, 11, talking back to God in it in a way that expresses, well, he makes this statement to us. You make known to me the path of life. This is the psalm writer in Psalm 16 talking to God. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, coming into this gaze, is the fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So drawing near to God is Psalm 37, which talks to us about delight yourself in the Lord, verse 4. And he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. He will act. This is God's modus operandi, and it is how to work with him. So James speaks very forthrightly. He says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, mean cleaning up what you got your hands on. And he says, purify your hearts, you double-minded. You see, this is not only a matter of actions, that remote control and Netflix going on. And, you know, those are surface issues. There are some that are much deeper in our hearts. What we do with our free time and the fantasies that come into what I do with my hands when I'm not really occupied and I'm getting on those places. You know, James forthrightly says, clean this up with your hands. And the issue of heart and mind, he says, purify. That means take this and move it in God's direction. Take it in a way that it gets set apart to him. Purify your hearts, you double-minded, because you're wanting, you're knowing. This is, God is the one. It's, I've got to line up there. This is what it's all about. But I keep finding, purify your hearts, set it apart to him, you double-minded. He uses some pretty stark terms. They're kind of scary. Do I really have to do this? Be miserable. Be miserable about how you're getting so uptight because the world stuff isn't like it used to be. I wanted it to be. Mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. This gaiety, this giddiness, be turned to mourning. And you know, this is not like a doom and gloom disposition that he's looking to have. It's the thing that took place in Nehemiah chapter 8, or as recorded in Nehemiah chapter 8, when the folks heard what God's direction was and where they were at and how they'd been functioning, and they realized this and they did that. It spontaneously came up. They began to weep. And the folks that were leading them there said, hey, no, this is not that time of weeping. This is a time of rejoicing because it's registered in your heart. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Here's your strength. God drawing near, this taking pleasure, this delighting in him. Ah, That's your strength. That's your strength in quarantine. That's your strength as restrictions get lifted and we go into a new normal, which has certain distancing and actions that have to come into place. This is surely going to be the place. The joy of the Lord is your strength in such a case. Folks, this is timely. This is like, wow, unorchestrated by us, very practical, very suited to our times. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And then James wraps this up by taking us to that which is God's promise. You see, all of this crescendos, it comes to its climactic point here in this promise, because it's what he's been saying all the way through this concerning God's modes of operating, God's manner of getting with him in his modus operandi. He finally concludes by saying this, here's the promise, humble yourself before God. Humble yourself, and he will exalt you. He will. Humbling yourself before God is choosing that lower position about your idea being so, it's not good for you. This is what's good for you. God's modus operandi. Drawing near to him, he'll draw near to you. Therefore, lower. Choose to lower. Choose to lower before God. In this gaze of God, honestly come to him and choose to lower. You're all fired, good, right, and important opinion about the way it needs to be. Humble yourself before God. The promise, get them the highest. He will exalt you. He will bring you up to a high place. What's that high place? It's the place of being with him in what he's doing, what he's accomplishing. You know, God is accomplishing some marvelous things which have been evident. A prayer rally at our local hospital with community leaders involved seeking God's face. Yes. People's attention that I've heard being turned to the Lord like never before in their lives. I've seen it. I've had reports. This is good. This is good that's being accomplished. Difficult time, but God and drawing near to him is forever. The promise of the things in the world that are missing, all that passes away. The will of God endures forever. Join him in what he's doing. It will take you to the highest place, the place where God is. You know this song? One of our deacons said to me a while back, you know, we sing this song and it plays over in my mind. you reign on high. All of the things you are over, won't you reign in me again? Reign in me, Lord. Reign in me. We've got a link that we've sent to you for the song. Be great to seek his face on this and choose to lower. And then, yep, get the highest. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to get together electronically. Oh, Lord, we miss being together. But we align with you and what you're doing. And when the restrictions get lifted, we'll approach this with caution. Being cautious, knowing that there'll be a new normal that we have to and need to adjust in getting our world up and going again. We pray. And we'll have your wisdom in doing it by drawing near. We pray that you'll give us grace, that you won't allow us to get to the place where our opinions are so high and so all fired, that we don't align with you, that we oppose you in this. Join you, I pray, that you grant us that. As restrictions become relaxed and we go forward, we pray this. And as we come together, we encourage each other in this new normal. Reign in us, Lord. Reign in us. As we go through these next few weeks together, grateful that through Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, we can come to you, and you draw near to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, as we conclude this morning, want to bring this to your attention. We need to pray for other countries, for following the Lord in those countries. Yep, countries around the world are facing these challenges. Myanmar. A country I'd like you to look up. It's a country where it's difficult. It's a Southeast Asian country. And the believers there have statements like this that are made. Churches closed and burned. There is abduction of believers. They're forced into military ranks. They are put in camps, radical Buddhists taking leadership and persecution. You know, look this up. Pray for these folks. Helps us to know that this is a big world and God is working all over the place in it. For good news, people who've had some very encouraging things with ministry to the Lord. One of those is the participation in our Some Plant ministry. Our deacon, Doug Gully, is working on this, needs some volunteers to join him with those who've requested that we come out and do some tilling. You know, get a hold of Doug. Let me encourage you with that. Thank you for your participation, for the notes that I've seen have sent in, the contacts we've had this week. Things are going forward. Ministries via Skype and Facebook and phones, deacon contacts going on. Keep communicating with us. Can't wait till we get together, but we will get with the Lord in our waiting. Thanks for joining. Take care. Bye.